Nobody ever complains about the producer, though. That's the good news.
That's all that matters to me.
Way to go, Matthew.
Well, that was fun. And, yeah, I mean, look, I think he, for a guy who's a little rusty in the interview department, did a fantastic job.
He's a smart guy, and he certainly has been through probably more. I don't know any of the 39-year-old coach that's been through as much as him. How many stops? And he's been at it, of course, as far as a coach, so he's watched his father.
He was 33 when he got introduced as the head coach of the Volunteers. So he was younger when he got the Oakland job.
And it's amazing. So you want to talk about learning the hard way.
Yeah.
He's had everything thrown at him at a young age, and he still is young, 39 years old. 39.
I'm glad he was willing to address some of the, you know, because, again, the perception of him, and I loved his answer, and I agree. I mean, because we, on a much smaller scale, everybody takes a certain amount of crap if you have any kind of public position, whether you're a politician or a radio host or whatever it is. Certainly if you're a head coach, which people are far more passionate about their sports in most cases than they are their politics. But he just said, hey, I can't control it, so I'm not going to worry about it. And that's the right attitude because, you know, and it's hard for people to actually live that. It's easy to say it. It's hard to live it and ignore all the negativity because there's certainly plenty of it out there.
You know, I guess what didn't surprise me too much that he went and actively, he said secretly met with Nick Saban for about 3 hours and just went through the whole process of how to run an organization, the relationships. And, you know, a guy that has been the head, well, the head coach of an NBA, an NFL franchise, been the head coach of Tennessee, and he's been through a lot and just recently went and sat down and talked with Nick Saban about some of the things of how he runs his program. So it's just kind of unique that, you know, at some point he had a reflection time. I'm sure that he had to be humbled at some point after going through Oakland, what he went to Tennessee, and then at USC. I mean, at some point, I'm glad, and you can tell maybe he's learned so much with the relationships that he's developed, and now it could have ended real bad for him.
No doubt.
But he's been able to land at a spot where, like you said, was pretty surprising, but it's been so beneficial. And he looks fantastic.
Well, it's like
he looks great.
It's like he said, too, I mean, Coach Saban, give him credit, too, because not only did he think that Coach Kiffin could help them be better, but he also was willing to take what heat he was going to get to hire a guy who had somewhat of a controversial past, not like legal or anything, but as far as his perception was not the greatest, let's be honest. I love what he said, too. He said, the mistakes I've made, and there have been many, you know, he's willing to admit to that. And that's the thing, like you said, I think he has been humbled probably. There's a couple other things I wanted to ask
him. But he's smart enough. And I think that's why he's the sky's the limit for him. He's smart enough to recognize it, go to the best, and say, hey, how do you break it down, brother? How do you do it?
I wanted to ask him about the SEC championship game because there's a really sad picture of all the teams celebrating in the middle of the field, and he's standing off to the side. And I saw a couple different shots of that. He's all by himself over off to the side, and I'm thinking, you ought to be in there celebrating. And I don't know why it was that way. The other thing I wanted to ask him about was the Tosh.0 parody of him. And I've got to think that, you know, whether you shy away from or ignore criticism, he had to find that pretty amusing.
You know what I think, too, though, is before meeting him, just now and talking with him and have a chance to engage, the perception was, even when he was a head coach, that he sort of, not that he was standoffish, but he definitely maybe just didn't take a lot of things around him. It just took too easy, and he wasn't up in your face. I think that's one thing that probably surprised me was how laid back he was, and that's just his personality. So you know he's not going to celebrate because he understood. You saw what he said. He hadn't done a media interview since January. Purposely, he's doing that.
Yeah, well, purposely Coach Saban's doing that for him.
Well, I think even when you talk about celebrating, I think he understands the perception everyone has of him.
Yeah.
And he's probably very guarded about that. He seems to be a guarded guy, but
I think he has improved and taken away most of the tarnish from his reputation by leading this offense this year and in doing it in such a way that it's clearly been changed significantly and they have been very successful with it. And he, I think, would be a very hireable guy as a head coach again in the not-too-distant future, if not next season.
Do you think, though, like with everything with Tennessee, that it almost came off as he was being submissive? Kenny Gibbs walks up, and that's all it comes to.
Submissive is not a word that Kenny Gibbs is associated with.
No. He will submit you.
He will submit you, yes.
There's no doubt about it. I think just the impression of how with Tennessee came in and basically left the next day almost, it gives the perception that he didn't care. And I don't think that's the truth. I think he does care. I just think his personality is really that laid back and guarded. And you can see him on the sidelines. I don't think I've seen him get upset.
Nope.
On the sideline.
Nope. I agree. You're right.
There he is.
Kevin Little Rock says, Lane Kiffin's never been the head coach of an NFL franchise. Get your facts straight. I don't know what you're talking
Lane
about.
Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, I think he was the head coach of the Raiders, but that's fine. Diane says, enjoyed listening to Lane Kiffin. Lots of people definitely eating crow after seeing how well he and Saban have worked so well together. I'm among them. I didn't think that was going to work. He's done an amazing job at Alabama with a guy nobody expected to be as good a QB as he's been this year. Also good to hear him own up to his mistakes he's made and how he wasn't afraid to go ask for help from one of the best in college football. Great interview, guys. Just goes to show you, man. I got a piece of advice a long time ago, and it's true in just about any walk of life. Stay humble and you won't stumble. And for him to humble himself to go ask for some help after he's been an NFL coach and a college coach, at, you know, a coordinator at USC is a pretty high-profile gig.
Oh, yeah.
And then he follows that up with being a head coach at Tennessee. I mean, the guy's got a pretty stellar reputation as far as the ability to get opportunities because of what he's done. Now, again, he's taken some hits because of some things he said, and I'm sure he's taken some shots that he'd probably like to have back, but it is what it is.
I figured that the relationship would have been somewhere along the line with his father and Nick Saban, the way that those two had connected at some point.
One last thing. Yeah, you're right.
He didn't really have, you know, it made it seem like he almost just didn't know him as well as I thought he would have through his relationships and coaching.
Coming up, we're going to play the we'll have the guys from the podium, all of the finalists, and then, of course, we'll have the announcement provided it comes before 1 o'clock. If not, we'll have the announcement on overtime. It just depends how long these guys speak. One thing before we go to the break here, Matt, so just hold this for 1 second, if you would.
Breaking news.
Did you see the story yesterday? And there have been we had the situation with the St. Louis Rams,
mm-hmm.
Talking about the Ferguson situation, or at least symbolizing the Ferguson situation with a hands-up deal.
Yes, sir.
Now LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and some of the other NBA players around the league.
Derrick Rose did a couple nights ago, too.
Wore I Can't Breathe shirts while they warmed up for the game, for their games. I guess some of the Nets did it last night, too. I don't know if Joe Johnson was among them, but some of the players did. It says Kevin Garnett, Darren Williams. And Kevin Garnett's never been afraid to speak out. This is all related, of course, to the incident with Eric Garner, who died in July after an officer put a chokehold on him. And he was apparently being arrested at the time for selling loose, untaxed cigarettes, Lucy's. Is what I saw.
Doug Rye!
So it was a message. Yeah, we're good. Yep. It was a message to the family, he says. That I'm sorry for their loss, sorry to his wife. That's what it's about, said James. I think everybody else gets caught up in everything else besides who's really feeling it, and that's the family. That's what it's about. And as you mentioned, Derrick Rose and Jarrett Jack was another one. I don't see Joe Johnson mentioned here. Have you seen the video on this incident?
Yes.
My wife called me this morning. I had not seen it. I've heard a lot of talk about it in the media, and I finally went and looked for the video today. And my wife called me today, and she said, "You sound down." And I said, "I just watched this video. I mean, it's just really sad and disturbing."
It is.
And I guess, you know, it was a little different situation to me than what happened in Ferguson. One of the main ones is, of course, that the Ferguson situation wasn't captured on video. But that's a surprising deal, I guess. I was a little bit surprised. And this officer, unlike the officer in Ferguson, had several complaints against him over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a completely different kind of situation.
Still not indicted. And
yeah,
it went the same situation.
Yeah, that's
didn't indict him.
Surprising to me.
It's difficult, and I think here's where sometimes the disconnect is. When you're dealing in law enforcement, which I have never dealt in law enforcement, the closest thing I've come was a security guard for a party one time. Okay, so
did you do a good job?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I didn't really pay much attention, but that's the whole thing. I mean, as a law enforcement agent, you have got like everything's on the table. All options are on the table. You know what I'm saying? So when you're approaching somebody, there, you don't know what could happen and what could go wrong.
Right.
And it's an unfortunate incident, but anytime you engage in any kind of issue, something could go wrong. And that, I guess that's where the disconnect is. It never goes by the script. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I agree.
It's like the very few times you're going to approach somebody, and I'm assuming if you're a lot. That's why whenever you hear law enforcement people, guys talk, they don't know what to expect. You
sure.
could roll up. They could roll up to a situation where it looks like there's a female and her kids in the car. You don't know what you're going to get.
Right. No, that's no doubt.
So it's tough.
But
tough
that was one where it was a long played out situation. There was no real danger to the officer, and anyway, it's a tough deal. It's a tough situation. I'm just a little surprised at the outcome on that particular one, and I don't know all the ins and outs. I've just sort of read about it the last couple of days, and finally saw the video. And
I believe the guy was unhealthy. Eric Garner, was he not? Did
yes.
he not have health issues?
Yeah, but he seemed to be doing fine until he got put in a chokehold.
Well, anyway. Chokehold is, from what I've
Did you see the video?
Yeah, I saw the video.
I mean, he said about seven times he couldn't breathe.
I saw the video when it happened, like a few months back when originally it happened.
Yeah.
And he said, "Yeah, I can't breathe." And but did he die from asphyxiation?
No, I think he died from a heart attack that was brought on by the incident. But
right, well, that, and then I mean, if it's a chokehold that killed him, it would be asphyxiation. Would
he was not the picture of health for sure. No, it was a cardiac arrest, I believe.
Right. So
yeah. Anyway, so LeBron and others, and I saw John Stewart talking about it on his show the other night as well, and he really made it clear to differentiate between the Ferguson situation and this one, and I think there is a very clear differentiation. So there are people who want to lump it all together. I don't know that that's necessarily the right path. Robert.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Oh, not much, man. Just chiming in on what you're talking about. I mean, the video, it was a little bit disturbing, you know, actually seeing the incident, but when you got a guy standing there and the police are telling him to put his hands behind his back or get down on the ground and he's not going to do that, he tells them he's not going to do that. I mean, what course of action do I have? They don't have the luxury of just walking away.
You know what I think is some of the other thing, too, is he knew what he was doing was illegal.
Right.
He'd been busted a few times before, so he knew.
I didn't know his background.
They can't just say, okay, well, you're right, we'll just get out of here now. I mean, when someone's refusing arrest and, yeah, he was on the ground saying he couldn't breathe, but at the same time, he's holding his arm straight out. He's on the ground, and he's still refusing to give him his arm to put handcuffs on him. The video's a little bit disturbing, but, I mean, kind of like what Pat said, when the police roll up on the scene, you got to comply with what they want to do because things can get ugly, and they have a job to do. And we can't afford to have our police officers scared to do their job.
No, I don't want them to be scared to do their job, and I always back the authorities. I mean, they're the people I call when I need something. I mean, there's no question. I have a great deal of respect. It's a tough deal. I don't question that. But I think there are times probably where there's engagement where there shouldn't be. And I mean, the whole thing was a little bit weird to me.
Well,
I don't know that illegally selling single cigarettes on the street is worthy of a chokehold and being, you know, bombarded by four officers. And
well, I guess,
you know,
my question is, whatever happened to the tasers?
Yeah, that's a good question,
too.
When
did they quit using that?
That's a good point. I don't know what happened there. That's a great point.
I don't know. I mean, could they not have tased the guy and knocked him on the ground with that?
Well, and the other thing is, too, I don't think I was under the understanding that chokehold is not necessarily taught in law enforcement.
I mean, there's probably
by any means necessary to some degree when you're in a certain situation, but that didn't look like he was.
Let's agree. Everything went horribly wrong. Yeah. Every part of that situation went horribly. I think that most likely you're right. Yeah, I don't know how much of that actual technique. I also don't know what it's like to have to be in that position. That's what I don't know.
Yeah.
The other thing is, too, what you don't know as an officer, if he is selling Lucy's, which is illegal, whether or not you think they're illegal to sell.
Apparently this is quite a common thing in Boston. You even have a nickname for it.
Well, the reason why is because
the sale
of cigarettes and the tax on cigarettes is so much, especially in New York City, that there's a common practice of just selling the Lucy cigarettes on the street for whatever, basically just because the tax is so high. And so everyone knew what was going on. Everyone knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Well, the last thing I'll say is if he died from an actual heart attack, he could have died from, if they would have tased him, he could have had a heart attack when they tased him. So either way, probably would not have ended well.
I was thinking it, but I didn't say it. Yeah, fair point. Good point. Thanks.
If the police tell you to get down, just get down and just avoid all of it. And that's it.
Yeah. I guess I missed that part where they, I'll have to watch the video again.
The thing with the protests, though, it's about a bigger issue. You know what I'm saying? It's not about this specific case, which I know they're using the I Can't Breathe for that. But the conversation is about a bigger issue that needs to be had. There needs to be communications between law enforcement and most people. I think everybody needs.
If you sell a cigarette on the street, though, illegally, is it really is that a put you in jail offense, or is that just a citation? I can't imagine that's something you want to take somebody downtown for. It doesn't seem worth it.
They should have just written him a citation and gone on about their
business. What I'm thinking. I mean, to me, it's the same deal as a speeding ticket. It's such a minor.
Remember in Goodfellas, that's what Henry Hill got pinched for.
Yeah, he wasn't selling Lucy's. He was selling cases.
He had such a huge amount, it was a little
different deal. He had a truckload.
From my understanding, New York City, if you get caught with a little bit of weed on the street, they write you a citation.
Hey, let me tell you, New York City doesn't mess around, though.
That's true. I can't even buy a big soda there anymore.
They don't mess around. That's the one thing in New York City. Pre-Giuliani, the crime was so horrendous in New York City. It was horrendous. Post-Giuliani, he's tightened things up like you can't believe. Now, crime's down, but there seems to be some confrontations in the street, which are always going to happen. It's a city of 6 million people or more.
This isn't a story, a news story. The New York City Police Department prohibits chokeholds. There's the issue. That's the problem. That's the problem.
There's got to be.
He wasn't going to get away. He wasn't going anywhere. Obviously, saw the guy. He wasn't going to be able to run off. It wasn't like he was going to get away. So, you could have done it there. You could have brought it a few different guys and done without a chokehold.
What you say is a chokehold?
Yeah.
In police terminology, could it be called something else?
If I put my arm around your throat and cut off your wind, yeah, that's a chokehold.
But he didn't die from asphyxiation.
No, but he was again. Anyway, you saw the video. Robert, thanks for the call. Shane, it's not a debate over whether he was a chokehold. It was a chokehold. That's not a question. You're right, he didn't choke him out. It did not. That's not how he died.
Right.
But he did put him in a chokehold, and they're not supposed to. So that's not
debatable. Well, cops do that. I see videos of that all the time. When they're taking somebody down, they grab them by the top part of their body.
Yeah, I've never seen him in a chokehold, per se.
The top part of the body. Well, it wasn't like a dying cheek type chokehold.
He was a little smaller. He had a size disadvantage for sure. What's up, Shane? Shane, I'm going to talk. Okay, Mike, real quick, and then we got to take a timeout. We're way behind. What's up, Mike?
Hey, not a lot. How's it going? Good. Hey, just real quick, the problem I have, though, is the two guys specifically were resisting. What do you do as a police officer? You're supposed to control the situation. The guy was truly resisting arrest. Now, and you say, cigarettes, is that a big deal? But the bottom line to me is, what I like about all these protests is they're using people who were resisting arrest to try and like you said, I doubt seriously get away. He was surrounded, but he wasn't letting them put handcuffs on him. And that's what do you do in that situation? I would just like some of these leaders who try and say the police aren't doing a great job, have them go out with the police a couple of times. What would they do in this situation?
Yeah.
Taking away the length of time they try to get him, the adrenaline that goes on. Both these guys were huge. Don't underestimate. The kid did not need any weapon when he robbed the store before, right? Just his size was his weapon. If I'm 6'3 and over above 275,
yeah, I'm not talking about
that people.
Yeah, the Ferguson situation is completely different to me about the whole way it went down, too. But, Mike, I appreciate the call.
Yeah,
I go back to the fact that why escalate it? If it's just a citation, why bother? I just can't imagine that you're going to actually take somebody downtown for selling cigarettes on the street corner. It's hilarious to me.
I just want something good.
Ridiculous.
Hopefully to happen. And these protests will help that. I'll tell you what, Tommy Norman, who's a North Little Rock police officer, what he does is what I think is going to help. He actively goes out to schools to talk and engage with young people so they're not afraid of police officers. That's the problem.
There's a disconnect.
And listen, trust me, I am no way, will ever have the same experiences as a minority. But even me, when I see a cop pull up behind me when I'm driving, everybody gets a little jittery.
Yeah.
So
even when you're not doing anything wrong.
No, but even so that's why a police officer like Tommy Norman, he's actively going out there and saying, don't be afraid of us. He's teaching these young kids at that time, and hopefully it'll work.
We need more of that, for sure.
We do. Tommy, doing a great job, buddy.
I don't disagree with that one iota. As we head into the break, I want to tell you about River City Flooring. And again, I've been telling you about them for a long time, and I appreciate all they've done at my place. Certainly made my house look as good as it was going to look, without a doubt. They redid all the flooring on the first floor and the second floor. Carpet, hardwood, tile. They do it all, and I've gotten it all from them. RiverCityFlooringLR.com. Over 10 years, stuff wears out. You need replaced. They are the place to go. And again, if you want the lowest price guaranteed, great installation, and an excellent choice of different flooring to choose from, then River City Flooring is here to help. Three locations. You can go through their showrooms, too, and look around. 9867 Maumelle Boulevard, Bryant on Highway 5 North, and in Conway on Harkrider across from the Walmart. RiverCityFlooringLR.com. Call over there, 501-812-1411, or go to their website, or go by one of their showrooms and start saving and getting great items in your home today. Beautify, my friends, and they can do a lot more than just flooring. Countertops, redo your master bath. When your kitchen worked on, they can help you with a lot of different things. Call them today. We'll be back. We're way behind at the Broyles Award. That ain't the way that